WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This week and next, CBS is airing a special 20th anniversary edition of 60 Minutes. The show's confrontational style changed the look of TV journalism. Our television critic David Bianculli has this review.
I'm Mike Wallace.
I'm Morley Safer.
I'm Harry Reasoner.
Good evening. This is 60 Minutes. It's a kind of a magazine for television.
That was the way 60 Minutes opened its very first broadcast back on September 24th, 1968. It shared a Tuesday night time slot then with the CBS NewsHour, which was the only other nonfiction primetime series on television. The most popular shows that season were Ronan Martin's Laugh-In, Gomer Pyle USMC, and Bonanza. Now, 20 years later and counting, 60 Minutes is still going strong and is celebrating its anniversary by presenting a two-part special. Part 1, covering the show's first 10 years, is broadcast this week. Part 2, covering the most recent 10 years, will be shown next Monday. Why has this TV news magazine succeeded for so long when so many others have died quickly and miserably? Some say it's the charisma of the correspondents. Others say it's the black hat, white hat approach, which has the good guy 60 Minutes crews seeking out and facing down the bad guy crooks and swindlers. Then there are those who say it's because 60 Minutes was the first of its type, and that it manages to balance important issues and topical events with showbiz and celebrity coverage better than any other single hour of television. What do I say? I say it's all that, plus the show's clever writing and even more clever editing. Editing that is either brilliant or ruthless, depending upon which side of the skewer you're on. Mike Wallace's introduction to this week's sampler makes the point perfectly.
We're also not going to do it chronologically. We're just going to wander back and stop off at places along the way.
A young Jesse Jackson, an outspoken first lady, a hidden camera, a man up to no good, another man up to no good, the Shah of Iran, maybe the richest man in the world, a musical genius.
That musical genius is Vladimir Horowitz. The show opens just as strongly, with a brief taste of an interview with Richard Nixon, conducted shortly before the 1968 presidential election.
Let me make this one point. Some public men are destined to be loved, and other public men are destined to be disliked. But the most important thing about a public man is not whether he's loved or disliked, but whether he's respected. And I hope to restore respect to the presidency.
This anniversary retrospective is full of memories and surprises, including some classic examples of ambush interviews that, I have to admit, are an awful lot of fun to watch. Mike Wallace was the first openly adversarial interviewer on a major network news series, and his style has become so accepted and adopted that Ted Koppel does it live, and TV's White House correspondents do it on a daily basis. 60 Minutes, though, remains the original article. If it maintains its quality and its audience, then 60 Minutes, like the Stars and Stripes, may indeed last forever.
Do you love this country enough, Maestro, to respond to a request for you to play something that you haven't played in many, many years in public?
Yeah, but I don't know it. You know
what I'm going to ask you?
Yes, I know, because they ask me all the time.
The Stars and Stripes Forever.
But I have to remember. It's so difficult.
I'm sure that it's difficult.
Go ahead.
David Bianculli is television critic for the New York Post.